Chief Justice Annette Kingsland Ziegler presiding, your silence is commanded.
All right, please be seated. Good morning. Calling 23-AP-70, Scott Vandenhoeven versus Wisconsin Department of Justice. Could I have your appearances, please? Good morning to both of you. So I have 25 minutes followed by 30 minutes, 5 minutes on rebuttal. That's your understanding, too? Great. And we also have Stoughton High School here. Before we start oral arguments, I'd like to acknowledge that you're here. If you could stand up, please. Wonderful. Good group. Nice to have you here today. Hopefully you find oral arguments to be interesting. And afterwards, I think Justice Protasevich is going to have a few minutes to meet with you. If you have the time to stay, she'll come on out and think of some good questions for her. She likes to be stumped. Okay? All right. All right, with that, please be seated, and we will start oral arguments. Mr. Monroe, please.
Thank you, Chief Justice. May it please the Court, John Monroe for the Scott Van Oudenhoven. Mr. Van Oudenhoven was convicted of battery in Calumet County in 1994. The victim of the battery was the mother of his child. So that crime would qualify ordinarily as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence under federal law. That's 18 U.S.C. 922 G9. But the federal law also has four exceptions for when a conviction does not count as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. Those are if the conviction has been expunged, set aside, pardoned, or if the person has had his rights restored. And as it happens, in 2019, the Circuit Court of Calumet County did enter an order of expungement of Mr. Van Oudenhoven's conviction. And the only condition in the federal law for any of those four ways of not qualifying as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence is if the relief that's provided, it cannot expressly provide that the person may not ship, transport, possess, or receive firearms. And the expungement order that Mr. Van Oudenhoven received in 2019 does not contain that information. It doesn't say anything at all about firearms.
Can I ask you, just to start with, Mr. Monroe, it appears to me that the law was, if not exactly the same, but it's similar enough to, it is now under 973.015, and the expungement law in the state of Wisconsin is that expungement has to be determined, whether or not someone can be expunged is determined at the time of sentencing. And just from your recitation of the facts, it's very clear that that didn't happen here, that it was not until 2019 that his conviction was expunged from a 1994 case. So what am I supposed to do with that?
That's an excellent question, Justice Stella. I don't know the answer to that. I wasn't in the original conviction or the expungement process that Mr. Van Oudenhoven went through. I agree. It appears that there was some kind of irregularity, but I can't answer your question. It wasn't raised in the circuit court and it wasn't raised in the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals did observe the same thing that you have, that something seems odd about that, but because it wasn't raised, the Court of Appeals passed on it and didn't discuss
and
it further.
We wouldn't have the record to look back and see what was or wasn't done at the time.
That's right. It's not in the record, and as near as I can tell, the record isn't even available.
But he was convicted in 1994, am I correct?
That's correct, Justice Bradley.
Was the sentencing not done until the time of expungement in 2019?
No, I believe he was sentenced in 1994.
Yes, I would guess so.
We have no way of knowing what the circuit court may have said. Maybe there was a clerical error or a glitch or something where it just wasn't done properly as ordered by the court. We just can't know at this point, right?
That's right, Chief Justice Ziegler. It's possible that the circuit court at the time said that it was qualified for expungement and it just wasn't done. We don't know that because we don't have the record.
Hypothetically, if it were an illegal expungement, you may not know the answer because this wasn't raised, but hypothetically, if it were illegal, Is it void ab initio, then?
I'm sorry, is what void ab initio?
The expungement. If it's an illegal expungement in 2019, is it void?
I thought you said if it were legal. You said if it were illegal.
Yes. Okay. Yes, let me thank you for pausing. Yes.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
If the circuit court ordered it, I guess the remedy at the time would have been for the state to appeal it and say, hey, you can't do that, but but that doesn't appear to have happened.
Okay.
So because the on its face, Mr. Van Oudenhoven had the conviction, he got it expunged, so the only plain reading of the federal statute is because it was expunged, it doesn't qualify as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. Now, the Department of Justice argues that the expungement under Wisconsin law doesn't qualify as an expungement under federal law, but the logic kind of breaks down in there because all the federal law says is it has to be expunged, and it can't say, the expungement can't say that the person is expressly prohibited from receiving, possessing, or transporting a firearm. So on its face, what the federal law would do would not have this conviction count as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. The Department of Justice's argument is that, well, the statute has four ways that a conviction will count, and the department lumps the first two, expunge and set aside, together and says, well, they must be synonymous, so an expungement must completely undo a conviction.
Do you think they're synonymous?
I'm sorry?
Do you think they're synonymous?
No, I don't believe they're synonymous.
And do you have any legislative history that suggests one way or another whether or not they are?
Well, the Supreme Court has lumped all of them together and said that they all have some effect on providing some kind of relief. And there's another Supreme Court case that says that among the several states, expunged means a lot of different things. So from that, we can infer that Congress knew when it passed the statute and said expunged that it knew it was relying on state law and that there's a wide variety of what expungement means in the various states.
It's not just the Department of Justice that sees it that way, right? The Tenth Circuit saw it that way as well, correct?
I'm sorry?
It's not just your friends at the other, on the other side that see it that way. The Tenth Circuit saw it that way as well, correct?
That's correct, Justice Kurofsky, in the Crank case.
Yeah, so they said that expunged or set aside, they said, we conclude that Congress intended both terms equivalently to require that a state procedure completely remove the effects of the conviction in question, correct?
They did say that, yes.
And the expungement law that we're looking at, 97315 sub 1, does not remove the effects of the, completely remove the effects of the conviction, correct?
That's correct. This court ruled that in the Braunschweig case.
And if we disagree with you and we agree with the Tenth Circuit that expungement and set aside are not synonymous but mean different things, then it would seem to me that we should look at 973, let me get it up here. We should look at the vacatur statute, right? Because this is, I'm looking at paragraphs 20 and 22 in Braunschweig, and I think the Chief Justice authored this, the case. And in Braunschweig, it talks about the difference between expungement and vacatur, right?
Yes.
And so I am having, and vacatur, of course, in Wisconsin is 97315 sub 2. It's a special statute for people who are convicted of prostitution while they are being sex trafficked, and it allows them to apply for a court to get that conviction vacated, right? Remove all the effects of that conviction because, of course, it is completely unfair and inhumane for a person to be convicted of prostitution when they are being sex trafficked, since they are a victim and not a defendant.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's what the Vacatur statute does, and in my mind, that's what set-aside would do, and that is different than the subsection right above it, which is expungement, which does not completely remove all the effects of the conviction.
I think that's exactly right. I think vacatur under Wisconsin law would essentially be equivalent to a set-aside, which is different from expungement, and that's our point. Congress used four different words, and they mean four different things. If we lump expunged and set aside together and say it's only one thing, then we're saying that Congress was being redundant and we're calling one of those two terms, apparently expunged, surplusage, which is a violation of common interpretation canons of statute.
Could I just finish? I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Or they were just being careful, right? Because there are different words used. Because they're trying to say you need to apply this federal law to what's going on in the states, right? Because that's where these convictions are happening. That's where the misdemeanor crimes of domestic violence are happening, right? I don't think there, to my knowledge, is not a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence under federal law. Okay? So they are saying we want to be careful here, and we want to make sure that we are both, that we're looking at all 50 states, and we are being careful, and some of those states might use the word set-aside, some might use the word expungement, but we're putting them together, and then we're putting the comma after that, because they are being lumped together.
I mean, that's certainly what that was the Tenth Circuit's line of reasoning. I think there are a couple of issues with that. One is, what I was just saying is, you're saying that Congress was being redundant, or assigning surplusage to a statute.
Well, you're saying it's redundant. I'm not. I'm saying they're being careful.
Okay. They're being careful by using two words to mean the same thing, though, I think is what you're suggesting.
Two words that may appear in different statutes in different states to make sure that they are encompassing all that they need to encompass when they're writing a federal law that is going to encompass the state law of the various states and the various ways that they may explain what they do when they are going to make sure that someone's record is not available to the public any longer.
Right. The other issue with that line of reasoning, though, is the unless clause that says that the expungement cannot expressly prohibit somebody from possessing a firearm. If an expungement completely undid a conviction, then it wouldn't make sense for it to say, but you can't possess a firearm, because now it hasn't completely undone the conviction. So I think there would be an internal inconsistency for Congress to have said, it's not a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence if you get it expunged, as long as your expungement doesn't prohibit you from possessing a firearm, but an expungement must completely undo the conviction. That seems like a contradiction, because if it undid the conviction completely, then certainly you could possess a firearm because the conviction never happened.
And Justice Karofsky, that was my exact question, so thank you.
What do we do about the fact that there's no other court that's done what you're asking us to do?
Well,
I mean, I know we've got some state Supreme Courts that have looked at it, a couple. We've got the Ninth Circuit and the Tenth Circuit. They all got it wrong?
I think that's right, Justice Dallet. I mean, there haven't been a lot of cases. There are a handful. I think one of the issues is we're talking about an individual up against either state or federal government, and those cases just are difficult to prosecute. I don't think there have been a lot of cases on this. But I acknowledge that all of the reported cases on this come out the other way, but I believe that they're all incorrect.
There's about four, right?
That's about right.
Did any of these courts give any kind of satisfactory explanation for why they would equate set-aside and expungement, or even grapple with the argument that you just made about the unless clause making absolutely no sense if expungement means what the Tenth Circuit and the other courts said it means?
They didn't, and what they all tend to do is they, even though there are four provisions in the federal statute, they just lump the first two together, expunged or set aside, and say, well, those two are synonymous, but they don't talk about pardoned or rights restored. I mean, why isn't expungement synonymous with those, or one of those, or both of them, or all three? It's just, when you read the opinion, like the Crank case from the Tenth Circuit, they say expunged or set aside in quotation marks, I don't know, dozens of times, ignoring the other two provisions. And that begs the question, what about the other two? How do they fit in, and why aren't they in this synonymous calculus that's going on?
Isn't the bigger question, though, because you can say that the comma means that those two things, fine, I can get behind those two things mean the same, there's a comma there. But isn't the bigger question, do those two things automatically mean vacated? I mean, that's really the issue, right? If you're going to say, like the Tenth Circuit did, it's like, it goes like this. It goes expunged equals set aside, which equals vacated. That's the analysis.
That's what
so
they
isn't
said.
The bigger question, fine, if you get around expunged equals set aside, and because it's used interchangeably by different states if you look at their laws, but does it mean vacated?
Well,
that's the question, right?
Yeah, I think it appears that that's what that congressman first set aside to be essentially the same as vacated, at least the way vacated is used in Wisconsin law. Because in the unless clause, Congress omitted set aside. It's when it listed the four things that get you out of being a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, expunged, set aside, pardoned, or rights restored, then in the unless clause, it just says the pardon, the expungement, the pardon, or the rights restoration can't say expressly that the person is prohibited from possessing firearms. To me, that implies that Congress intended that set aside was absolute. I mean, that the conviction is gone, so it can't have any exceptions or anything like that included in it. So that tells me that Congress thought set aside meant completely gone, undo the conviction. But the other three don't mean that, because otherwise the unless clause wouldn't make sense.
Perhaps, but one other possibility could be that, expungement has a bunch of meanings, defined separately in state law. Some states don't have separate expungement laws. They have a set-aside law. They also have a limited set-aside. Sometimes the records can be set aside on a limited basis. So it's also possible that if, in fact, it seems to me the core question in this case is, is this referring to a separate federal definition that we need to make sense of and fit actual expungements into, or is it referring to state-level expungement or set-aside laws, which, and there are some state-level set-aside laws that are equivalent to expungement laws, and perhaps that's also could be a plausible explanation for why those two are lumped together with a comma afterwards, and then, the set-aside portion not repeated. Maybe it's just a catch-all summary for the various state-level expungement type laws.
Well, certainly Congress must have had various state-level types of expungement in mind, because a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence is almost invariably going to be a state conviction. So Congress must have been referring to state-level actions like the expungement, the pardon, the set-aside, or the rights restoration. But just before the statute was passed, the Supreme Court said expungement means something different in almost every state that has it. I mean, it basically said there is no uniformity to what expungement means. The Supreme Court had just told Congress that there's no uniformity of expungement, and then Congress said if it's been expunged, it doesn't count. Congress knew that different states do different things when they expunge something. Some probably do completely erase a conviction. Some, like Wisconsin, do not. But Congress knew that when it passed the law.
Counsel, Justice Hagedorn set forth what could be a plausible explanation, but I didn't read your brief for making that argument. Did you make that argument?
I did make the argument that that Congress or that the Supreme Court had said that that expungement means different things in different states.
Yes, yes.
Right. That I'm not sure I understand what you're asking. Okay.
Is that the Logan case? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So we shouldn't even be talking about interpreting the statute unless it's ambiguous. And Congress used the word expungement. Wisconsin uses the word expungement. On its face, there's no ambiguity. So we shouldn't even be talking about interpreting the statute or or using interpretation rules. But if we're going to do that, again, you've got the issue of surplusage, where we should, if at all possible, interpret a statute so to give meaning to every word. And the interpretation urged by the Department of Justice and used by the Tenth Circuit essentially erases expungement from the statute, saying, well, it means exactly the same thing as set aside, which would be a violation of that important principle in interpreting statutes.
Is there legislative history? I heard Justice Protasewicz was asked that, and I didn't hear you answer that part of her question. Is there legislative history behind this statute, the federal statute?
If by legislative history you mean something like in the congressional record or something like that.
Something to indicate what they were trying to do.
Not that I know of, no. I mean, we've got, just before the statute was passed, we've got a couple of Supreme Court opinions, which they're presumed to be aware of, but there's not, I think, probably what you'd normally refer to as legislative history that's available.
But that might be part of the statutory history. The case law's there, and
that's
the
right.
Statute's enacted.
Case law's there. Congress is presumed to be aware of the case law, so that, I mean, that, to me, that is legislative history, but there's not, I don't know about, like, debates in Congress or anything like that, if that's what you mean by legislative history. I already made this point, I think, but if expungement, I mean, I don't think there's a principled reason for explaining why expungement is the same as set aside, but not the same as, for example, pardon or a restoration of rights. It's like the Tenth Circuit and the Department are lumping those two together for not any principled reason and saying, well, they mean the same thing, but they don't mean the same thing as pardon or having a rights restoration. And again, it looks like Congress intended for there to be four different things. I know Justice Kurowski said maybe Congress was being careful. There is authority that that's not the way the legislature is drafted. Like we cited that in our briefs from the Scalia and Garner book on reading the law, that that's not the way statutes are written. You don't write things to be redundant unless it's terms of art like last will and testament, which...
Or like expunged.
I'm sorry?
Or like the word expunged. I mean, I'm having a hard time with your argument. A couple minutes ago, you talked about how this was not ambiguous. I think the fact expunged can mean 50 different things depending on which state you're in is by definition ambiguous. I mean, it seems to me that in the first phrase, when they are saying expunged or set aside or is an offense for, and then you go to the next sentence, which it says unless, and then you no longer have set aside, that there's some significance in that. And I'm clearly not going to convince you of that. I just reading it very differently.
I think the significance, though, counsel, I think your strongest argument, but tell me if you think there's a stronger one, is that the construction that the Tenth Circuit put on this statute is nonsensical with all due respect to the Tenth Circuit. And one of the things I read in the opinion is that they actually deferred to the ATF interpretation because they could see that it was reasonable somehow. We don't defer to agency interpretations anymore, so to me that kind of removes the Crank decision completely from any persuasive value whatsoever because they did no analysis of the unless clause. And going back to what I think is your strongest argument, but tell me if you think there's a better one, the unless clause's omission of set aside makes sense because if a conviction is set aside, there cannot be an express provision that the person may not possess a firearm. In contrast with an expungement, which under Wisconsin law does not remove all the effects of a conviction, it could, that expungement could say that, or provide expressly that a person may not possess a firearm. If expungement means set aside, it makes no sense to include expungement in the unless clause.
I think that is the strongest argument. The Congress omitted set aside from the unless clause, but put the other three in, including expungement. So Congress must have thought that an expungement doesn't necessarily mean a complete undoing of the conviction. Otherwise, the unless clause is yet another meaningless phrase that we're imposing on Congress, which I think is incorrect.
Counsel, Do you read the Crank decision as giving deference to ATF? I know that that is the way that they subtitle that subsection of the opinion, but it seems to me that in the actual language of that opinion, which starts somewhere around, I'm sure there's a page number here somewhere, 1245, that they actually, they walk that back. I think that maybe the subsection could be titled better, but they say that it provides support. They're not relying. They just say we look to it. It provides some support. They're not. They say the ATF interpretation is not entitled to Chevron deference. So I'm not. I don't read it as them deferring to ATF in any way. You read it differently?
Well, I mean, they did say that, but then it seemed like then they just turned around and did defer to the ATF. I mean, their analysis.
Well, they laid out their analysis, and then they put, it's like two paragraphs. And they just say, you know, and right after that, they've got some persuasive authority. It seems like it's a part of that. If you're looking at the real estate of this opinion, it's in the middle, and they're just saying, yeah, look, ATF doesn't disagree with this, and neither do these other courts.
I see my time's up. May I answer the question?
You may answer the question.
So I think the issue is, I mean, they said they weren't deferring, but then they came up with a conclusion that's not supported by the unless clause, and they didn't explain how they square it with the unless clause. So, I mean, it seems to me they made a leap of faith, and if it wasn't deference to the ATF, then I don't know how it came about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, I'll wait for. Well, actually, I'll handle it with this fellow.
May it please the court. Federal law provides that a conviction does not count as a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence if it has been, quote, expunged or set aside, unquote. What it says is, a person shall not be considered to have been convicted of such an offense for purposes of this chapter if the conviction has been expunged or set aside.
Mr. Keenan, can we go to the conviction and the expungement? And I know we touched upon it at the beginning of your friend's argument. I find this so troubling that you have a 1994 battery conviction, and suddenly there's an expungement in 2019. The expungement statute, my understanding is, and I just remember from practicing, because I was in the Dane County DA's office prosecuting domestic violence crimes in 1994. I'm well aware of what the expungement statute read at that time. Expungement has to take place at the time of sentencing. This expungement takes place 19 plus 6. I think that's 25 years, but having gone to law school like the rest of you, I can't be sure of that. Please tell me that's right. It's close.
Right.
It is. Okay. 25 years later. Sorry. 25 years later. I mean, you know, look, there's a good reason for this law to be in place, right? I mean, you know, the correlation between feticide and guns and domestic violence cases is, like, it's unbelievable. In this state, in 2023, there were 85 domestic violence deaths. That is a rate of 4.3 every day, and firearms were used in 78% of those deaths. I mean, this is, it's just, it, to say it's a deadly combination doesn't even begin to describe what the combination of guns and domestic violence mean. And so I don't understand why we're here, and I'm really troubled.
And
by the facts of this case and what it is going to mean going forward. So I'm done.
And Justice Kravsky, I just want to add one concern to what you just outlined. I'm wondering how old Mr. Vandenhoven was at the time of his conviction. My understanding is that in 1994, you had to be under the age of 21 at the time of the commission of the offense. I think it's unlikely that he was under the age of 21. Maybe you can elaborate for us, but I've got a number of concerns with
if it's in the record
how this expungement took place.
Yeah, I am not aware of whether he was under 21 or not. Generally, I believe that those type of issues are supposed to be addressed in the criminal case. I know when people try to, in a firearm case, try to say, well, you need to overturn my conviction, it wasn't valid, we say, well, that's not what you can do in this case. You have to go back to your criminal case to get a vacate, you know, whatever, do something there with your criminal court to set aside your conviction. So in this case, I do feel like it was on the district attorney to oppose any conviction that isn't consistent with law. I don't know that we can do anything about that now.
Did the state appeal this expunction? Did the state argue this before us or the courts below?
I don't believe so.
Are you asserting this argument here today?
No.
Okay.
But what if, I mean, I don't know what to do if this expungement was illegal on its face and then we're supposed to just uphold what may be an illegal expungement? I understand that no one has brought this up, but I don't understand how we can do that. How do we do that?
I think there's probably illegal convictions that are upheld because no one appealed it, and so our position is generally that things in the criminal case need to happen in the criminal case, and like collateral attack of something on in a civil matter isn't really allowed towards criminal convictions, which is why we haven't been making that argument. Really up to the district attorneys to stop this from happening.
There's nothing in the record that would enable this court to discern whether or not the expungement was lawful or not, and that's why it's not an issue.
Is that
correct, counsel?
I don't think there's anything in there that would allow anyone to tell what happened with respect to, like, in 1994 and then in...
Is his date of birth in the record?
Sorry?
Is his date of birth in the record?
Yes, I believe the date of birth would be
He was born in 72, so in 94 he was not under 21.
What more do we need to know? Is the date that he was convicted in the record? Yes, it was 1994.
This would be a sea change to reverse a criminal case in a civil case where the state, the DA, and no one ever raised the issue and it's not being argued before us today.
I am not a criminal lawyer, so I can't say that for sure. But
it certainly appears as though the expungement was not.
I think there seems to be grounds to say that it wasn't proper, but we don't have the full record of what happened.
That's why I ask opposing counsel if it would be void ab initio, because there are cases that deal with void ab initio, and he doesn't know, and I don't know either.
Wouldn't that be why you have to address a record that might be expunged at the time and appeal it and deal with it then and there? Because once a record is expunged, it's actually physically gone.
It is removed from the court.
Counsel, I have questions for you about the issues that have been teed up for the court to decide. And it's principally the question that I posed to your friend on the other side. How can you make sense of the unless clause in the federal statute under your interpretation, which is equating expungement with set aside? Because I think you would agree that if expungement means set aside the conviction, then the court could not expressly provide that the person could not possess, receive, et cetera, firearms if an expungement means what the state is arguing it means.
Well, expungement means, we're saying that means that under federal law. However, under state law, there's many different ways of expunging a conviction. So, for example, or a record of conviction, which is what happens in Wisconsin. So conceivably, a state could have a system under which you get an expungement of your conviction, but there is an exception for firearms, which would be here. So you do have, quote, an expungement of some type, but it does expressly provide that the person may not ship, transport, or possess or receive firearms. Pardons generally relieve you of all effects of convictions as well. But here we have a pardon that might actually expressly provide that the person may not ship, transport, possess, or receive firearms. So they're providing for that possibility.
How did they provide for it? That's the part I'm struggling with. Because if you read expungement the way the Tenth Circuit does, it means vacate. So I don't understand what a state statute with expungement would... None of them would qualify. If it says the word expunge, it has to vacate. And if it doesn't vacate, it doesn't mean... So why would you ever use the unless clause, which is, I think, what Justice Bradley is asking.
Well, because you could have an expungement that removes pretty much all the effects of the conviction, but not firearms.
But that wouldn't qualify under the way that the Tenth Circuit reads this statute. They read expungement to mean set aside, which means totally gone.
But, you know, in a sense, the conviction has been expunged in that state. It has, but it did expressly provide that the person may not ship, transport, possess, or receive firearms. I think a lot of this is just trying to be sure of, like, expunged can mean many different things. Under federal law, it means that the conviction has no effect anymore. It specifically says that. Here, it just means that the record has been removed from the court files. And the conviction itself has not actually been expunged from anything. The conviction still exists and can be used for various purposes.
I'm just having trouble. Explain to me how it works with the expungement in a state level. Start with, you're asking us to read expungement or set aside the way the Tenth Circuit did, which means vacate. Totally gone. Right?
It means it removes all the effects of the conviction.
Removes all the effects.
Yeah.
So what state statute that expunges records could ever be used under this?
Yeah, an expungement of record does not count here. It has to be an expungement of the conviction.
Right. So why would you ever have expungement of... If it's an expungement of conviction, you don't need that extra part that says unless the...
Well, yes, you could, because there could be expunging convictions that have there's a certain state law that... I think what the point of the unless clause is that after Dickerson and Logan, they wanted to make it up to the state to decide the effect of the... what happens? We're looking to state law to see what the effect is. So that they know that states have many different systems for doing this. Some may have some sort of system where your conviction is pretty much wiped away, but it does not relieve you of any firearm disabilities. And so they need to have this for those types of situations.
Isn't the real answer, if you don't want domestic abuse to ever, if you want the person convicted of domestic abuse to never be able to possess a firearm, the legislature could state that. Or the legislature could provide in the expunction statute that there could be the unless clause in Wisconsin. But right now, neither of those things exist. There is no extra document you file or something you do to make sure that the firearm provision is still in effect in Wisconsin.
Yes, I believe so. Now, conversely, the legislature could also say that the expungement statute expunges the entire conviction and wipes away all effects. They haven't done that.
Counsel, I want to ask, what states have a law that would satisfy the definition that you're putting forward for us today?
I'm not sure of the states. I know that the federal government has it.
Are you aware of any states that that have laws that would satisfy the definition you're suggesting today?
I'm not sure.
We did some research to try to figure out what other states do on this, and, you know, you might count it a little bit differently, but at least according to some preliminary analysis, at least 9 states use terms other than expungement refer to sealing of the records. 32 states use the term expungement to refer to sealing records. Other states use some different terms, including set aside, to do some of these same things. Some are kind of hard to figure out, but in other words, at least 41 of the states basically refer to expungement as some form of sealing records. What's really odd to me about the logic of the Tenth Circuit and the Court of Appeals opinion, and what I think what you're arguing today, is that it's pretty clear that Congress is referring to state-level actions. And so they use a term that does have these meanings in all these states. It'd be really weird, I think, to have Congress use the word expungement, have a separate meaning for expungement that we're just going to even refer to Black's Law Dictionary to pull out and make it look different than basically the way expungement is actually used. In other words, the basic argument is that Congress explicitly is creating an exception that applies to state-level expungements that will almost never apply to any actual uses of expungement under state law because it doesn't get rid of everything. And even the statute you cite under federal law is largely about sealing of records. It's unclear what the broad import of that is, or it means it completely removes everything. In other words, it's unclear to me whether there's almost any place where this actually has use. And that doesn't make any sense as a matter, to me, of statutory interpretation. To me, the sort of question is, do you go the Tenth Circuit route and think expungement means something out here that was never defined in federal law? It's not referred to, it's not separately defined. Or does it actually mean the way expungement actually is used? And that makes eminent sense to me to read expungement to mean how states actually use expungement. It's a legal term of art. It's used. It has application. That usually means sealing records, just like it does in Wisconsin. Why isn't that the most common sense interpretation of the statute?
Well, I'm not sure it means sealing records because expunge means you have to, like, actually physically, like, destroy or delete them, just sealing them if they're still available. I don't
know
that that would apply.
Some form of sealing or erasing records, yeah, right? Wisconsin's framework is copied in the vast majority of states. What we have is the normal common thing across the states. So, yes, I'm using sealing records for short, but, you know, like, as you're right, our expungement statute says, you know, expunge the record. Most states do exactly the same thing. So.
Yeah, well, I believe, you know, perhaps Congress wanted to do that. It would have been pretty simple to write language saying that. But when you say expunge the conviction itself would need to be expunged as opposed to just records related to the conviction. Where and the records still remain with the district attorney's office. They're still in criminal history checks.
They could, but conversely, Congress also could have written expungement means something totally different than expungement usually means, which is what your argument is today. Your argument is that by using the word expungement, it means something that pretty much never means anywhere, in that it completely vacates a conviction. That's just not what expungement is. So to me, it's a weird reading of a statute to say expungement means something it doesn't mean, almost anywhere where it's used. And why would that be the normal reading of the statute?
Well, I think you would just have to read what is expunged. The conviction needs to be expunged. And that's what the statute says, is expunged, the conviction is expunged, not the records related to the conviction.
Counsel, I just want you to confirm for me that Mr. Van Odenhoven's date of birth is in fact January 6th of 1972, and the date he was arrested for this offense was August 1 of 1994. Are those dates accurate?
I mean, they seem, if that's what's in the administrative record, that's what's accurate. I don't have that memorized.
All right, and your friend on the other side can correct me if, in fact, I've got those dates incorrect.
I mean, those dates, whatever the dates are, will be in the administrative record, you know, that was submitted to the circuit court.
Counsel, before I got into the law, I did my practice teaching in English. And so I applaud you for looking at the text of the statute and emphasizing the word the, because it makes a difference here, you advance. The way that I see your opposing counsel reading statute B22, it is when we get to that first part of the statute that lists the categories. I understand him to be reading it as expunged is separate from set aside, is different or separate from pardoned, and is separate from civil rights restored. But his reading leaves out the comma. And it reads out, not only leaves out, it reads out the comma. I think the comma has import because it puts together expunged or set aside as one entity. What import, if any, is that to your argument if you give import to the comma as I do?
No, well, I think that is important. I mean, there's four things, but expunged or set aside are one group, and then pardoned, or and then it changes. It says, or is an offense for which the person has been pardoned or had civil rights restored. So it's like even a different framing of how it would operate as opposed to a conviction. It's about an offense for which you've been pardoned or had civil rights restored. So I think the expunged or set aside are grouped together. They're things that happen within the court system in the case, as opposed to, being pardoned is usually an executive action that relieves someone of the effects of a crime, or a rights restoration, which is like a whole other process separate from pardoning or setting aside or expunging.
Do you agree that in the law, expungement and set aside generally they're not the same thing?
I mean, I think there's two different ways in terms of being the same thing. I mean, they're different processes, I believe, but I don't think it's wrong to say that they have the same effect. You know, setting aside versus expunging are like two different things. For example, setting aside, you know, could be a vacatur, but it could also be some sort of post-conviction, you know, proceeding that ends up reversing the conviction. It's set aside, but the result is the same. It's the same thing. I mean, this doesn't say vacatur, but it could be covered by these things as well. I mean, that's, I think, what's going on here.
What's a little odd to me, too, is that, you know, at least in my reading, they're definitely not the same thing. I mean, even under Black's Law Dictionary today, to set aside means to annul or vacate, but expunge means to remove a record, list, or book, to erase or destroy the record. Just Diaz's 50-state survey on expungement laws, it says, while terms vary among the states, the process of cleaning a criminal record is most often known as expungement or record sealing. And it talks about broader reliefs, and some states may even provide for setting aside or vacating. In other words, the normal use in the law is set aside does mean something closer to vacate, at least that's what Black's Law Dictionary says, where expungement is, generally speaking, referring to the record. They're just not the same thing. And if you look at the way it's actually used in the law, expungement generally refers to doing something with a record of it, and that's the way it's used almost everywhere. So your construction of the statute doesn't seem to make sense of that fact, even just on its own terms, that they should be read synonymously.
Well, I think in terms of, like, synonymously, we're saying they're synonymous in effect, but they're not necessarily synonymous in it goes about being taking place. You know, like setting aside would be a different process from expungement. I think everywhere there's just a different process for doing it, regardless of what the end result of the expungement is, if it's removal of all effects or just like removal.
But I don't understand that answer.
What do you mean by synonymous in effect? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, synonymous in effect process is different. One could mean you don't remove all effects. That destroys your whole argument. You're arguing to us that they mean destroy all effects.
Mm-hmm.
So how could they mean? I don't understand. Please.
Well, there can be. There's processes in states that are called expungement, and they do different things. And so they're using broad terms here that are going to cover many different state statutes, many different state processes. There's 50 different states with many different processes, which will use the word expunge, right? But do they actually do what? Like, do they remove all the effects? And so I'm saying they're synonymous in what the end result of it is, but not synonymous in, like, states will have a set-aside process, they might have an expungement of conviction process, and they're two different, like, processes you go through to get to the same result.
Why would they use the word expunction, then? And why would Congress have even put that word in there?
Well, I think just to cover the bases. I mean, because set-aside is usually something, there was something incorrect with the conviction oftentimes. You know, it's been overturned on appeal, habeas relief has been granted, something like that, which is usually due to a mistake in the underlying process. Expungement usually is not anything about regardless of how it's used. It's not about there being a mistake in the underlying process, that the person actually wasn't guilty or there was an error in the process.
But you're asking us to assume they didn't know expunction was something different. They used the word for a reason.
Yeah, and what they said, the conviction is expunged. So the conviction needs to be deleted or removed. And when the conviction itself is not, it's not satisfying the terms of the statute.
Okay, so you're saying, so that this is a little bit contrary to what you said a minute ago. You said before we look at different states have expungement, but I hear you saying none of that matters if the state doesn't actually expunge the conviction because the word conviction is used here, if the conviction is expunged. So that's your best argument?
Yes.
As to why this is different.
The plain text of the statute says the conviction needs to be expunged.
What state would actually do that?
I mean, the federal government does it.
Your definition.
Well, I don't know if other states do it. I know the federal government has an expungement statute that meets this criteria. So if a federal statute talking about expungement.
Which statute is that? Because I saw one that doesn't meet that criteria. I saw one discussing expunging the record. So
yeah,
which
18
one
USC 3607B then says, any conviction with one of those expungement orders shall not be considered a conviction for purposes of a disqualification or disability imposed by law upon conviction of a crime or for any other purpose. It's totally removing the effects of the conviction.
Does any other state use that exact same language? Because this obviously is referring to states' laws regarding expungement.
Well, it is, but then at the same time, the federal government has an understanding of what an expungement is supposed to be.
That states do it differently.
Yeah, but they could be, you need to meet our standard for what an expungement is.
You're sure that 3607 absolutely removes every effect of everything? Yes. Under federal law, I mean, the statute there in sub C says the expungement order shall direct that there be expunged from all official records. Again, expungement, doing a lot of record stuff here, except the non-public records referred to in subsection B, all references to the arrest. I mean, that is expunging the record. That's largely the same thing that we have here, too. And I agree, it has language says the effect shall be to restore the person to the status occupied before, but are you sure that means there is no, that it actually satisfies the idea that it eliminates everything, has the same effect as vacatur, same effect as completely vacating a conviction? Your argument, I think, depends upon the fact that's always true for expungement under federal law. Because this statute obviously is not the one referenced here. It's not cited in any way in the statute we're talking about, and nor is this a broad federal expungement statute. This is expungement for a particular purpose here related to controlled substances. So your argument seems to depend that everywhere, federal government always, when it uses that word expungement, it always refers only to something that has the exact same effect as vacatur. The exact same effect is completely dismissing the conviction entirely. And are you sure that's what the statute means? And are you sure that that's what expungement always means everywhere it's used in federal law?
No. I say if it says the conviction has been expunged, like it does in the section we're at issue, that requires the conviction itself to be expunged, which under the definition of expunged means that it's like totally, in a way, deleted. The federal statute shows in a way of doing that where the records are expunged, right? It says the records are expunged, but then it also says shall not be considered a conviction for the purposes of a disqualification or disability imposed by law upon conviction of a crime or for any other purpose. I mean, any other purpose seems pretty clear that this is not a conviction at all for anything, even another OWI conviction like in Wisconsin. You can still use the expunged record related to that.
This doesn't say of the conviction. The site you gave us was expungement of record of disposition. So is there some federal statute that explains what it means to have a conviction expunged?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, it meets that definition because it expunges the record, and it also provides that there's no disability anymore.
Isn't your point in this that it shall not be considered a conviction?
Yes. It's not a conviction
anymore. And if you look at that language from 18 U.S.C., what is this, 3607, and you focus on that language, shall not be considered a conviction, and then you go back to the statute that we are talking about.
Where does it say?
But it says shall not be considered a conviction for purposes of this chapter. That's important modifying language, I think.
I think is... I think is
I think your point is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that Congress is, that is an example of a situation where Congress has written and a statute dealing with expungement where they have talked about expungement meaning that it is for the purposes of a conviction, which is similar to what 18 U.S.C. 921A33B2 is.
Yes, and I think, like, you know, this wouldn't be that we wouldn't even be here if the federal law provided that anyone who's had a conviction whose record has been expunged or sealed, you know, like, now they're saying, like, it's not about the conviction, it's just whether the record of the conviction has been expunged or sealed. You know, Congress easily could have done that, and they didn't. They said the conviction itself needs to be expunged.
But expungement of a conviction under Black's Law Dictionary and countless other definitions means that the record is erased or destroyed.
Yeah,
and that's, in fact, the principal definition of expungement, but you're asking us to adopt a secondary meaning.
Well, I think the conviction itself needs to be expunged, you know, like it needs to be wiped away.
Okay.
In Wisconsin, that's not the case.
But my point is that expungement of a conviction, the principal definition under Black's Law Dictionary, and frankly, I think under Wisconsin law, means that the record is erased or destroyed. So just because, I think you're taking, from my perspective, you're taking far too literal of an interpretation of this language that the conviction has to be expunged, and you're saying that means something different than erasing the record. But again, the principal definition of expungement under Wisconsin law, Black's Law Dictionary, the very first definition, expungement of a conviction means that the record is destroyed.
Well, no, expungement means that the record is destroyed is what I would say. I mean, what 973.015 says is a court may order at the time of sentencing that the record of conviction be expunged. And that's what the law does,
right.
Is expunge the record.
The actual conviction has to be. So
yes.
in other words, it has to be still there.
Okay. Looking at your federal statute example, it talks about it. That's the only place in the federal statutes, I think, that talks about the conviction being expunged. It then goes on to say it can still be used. It says there are conviction that's subject shall be retained by the Department of Justice solely for the purpose of use by the courts in determining subsequent proceedings under sub A or the exceptions in sub C. And those include that there's still references to the person's arrest, the institution of criminal proceedings. Those things don't disappear. So I'm confused. It's vacatur. It all has to go away. It doesn't even all go away under the federal statute.
Go ahead and answer.
My light's on. Okay. Well, you know, it should not be considered a conviction or imposed by law upon conviction of a crime or for any other purpose. I mean.
Okay, you got to keep reading. What happens to the rest of it? So, I mean, what does? If your argument is that it has to be vacated and considered for no possible purpose, how can these exceptions be in there that allow it to be convicted for that allow it to be for a purpose, and you somehow to say that this has to mean it's vacated? It seems to me you're admitting that even under the federal statute, there is no full expungement. Expungement doesn't mean it is all pieces of it are gone because it's not all gone under 3607, right?
Well, I disagree, but I guess I'll
you what?
I disagree, but I think it's...
Okay, but I want to know why. Help me out here. I'm finding this extremely challenging, as you can tell by my... this is really challenging, especially when we've got other courts that have said something different and have not provided a lot of reasoning. So I would like to do the thing that the law tells me to do, but I'm having a real hard time trying to figure out what that is. So any help you can give me is really appreciated. So what do you do with 3607? I know you use the word conviction, and it does say that, and that would be great if that was the whole thing all gone. But doesn't it look like 3607 still lets you use this conviction for certain, like all the things don't go away that are related to the conviction?
Yeah, but it does say it shall not be considered for purposes of a disqualification or disability imposed by law upon a conviction of a crime, which is what is a prior conviction for purposes of firearms, is a disqualification or disability imposed by law.
And so the fact that it remains allowable use for all, for lots of other things, that the order doesn't get rid of everything, doesn't matter?
I mean, if a expungement specifically says it's not no longer a conviction for purposes of a disability imposed by law, and we're talking about a disability imposed by law, then it would qualify.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Counsel, I was going to ask you during your primary argument this question, and I tried to get it in through opposing counsel. In part, in interpreting the statute, it is of significance whether or not we have three categories or four categories in B22. I read it as three categories because of the comma. It seems to me that you read it as four categories, of course, and that you read out of the statute the comma. So my question to you is, of what import do you ascribe to the comma after the word aside?
So a couple of answers for that. First of all, I couldn't find any instance anywhere in any state where expunged means the same as set aside. So
it's, no, I'm just talking about looking at the text.
No, I understand
talking
that.
About punctuation. Of what import do you give the comma in this case, in this text?
I mean, normally, I think the best drafting technique with a list of things in a disjunctive is to list them all and put an or before the last one. That's not what Congress did here. They might have put the comma there because they were going to put another or in, and they thought grammatically you should put a comma before a disjunctive.
Yeah,
so,
but that doesn't hold sway here because that's the only comma in the list of four. There's no comma after pardon. You know, we're not dealing. So that doesn't make sense. The one that does exist in this list of four, aside, after the word aside, what import do you give to that comma?
I don't give any import to it.
So you read it out?
I don't read it out. I think it was put there, like I said, for a presumed grammatical reason. But
and what is the presumed grammatical reason given that there is no comma after pardoned, there's what's the reason? There's no comma after expunged. So what's the reason the comma is placed there?
Like I said, I presume the drafter thought that a comma needed to go there for grammatical reasons. But I can't assign any particular significance to it or say that it would have meant something different if the comma were not there. In other words, I don't think the comma changes anything.
Could it have to do with the fact that you set aside a conviction or you expunge a conviction, but when you're describing the other parts of the statute, the other language is different phrases? You wouldn't say you pardon a conviction or have had civil rights restored conviction. I mean, could that be why?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, the words don't, they can't be used, you know, in a sentence just run together because you don't civil rights restore a conviction. It's a conviction for which you've had the civil rights restored or something like that. So it's awkward phrasing because those four things are not grammatically the same thing.
To me, you are reading out the comma. And your argument doesn't explain the lack of commas in the rest of the list. This may not be the beginning and end all, but it seems to me the comma has to have some import, And the import is that the first two things, that is the expungement or set aside, comma, are treated as one. Why, and you offer really no grammatical reason why that is.
Well, like I said, the four things are not grammatically the same kind of phrase or word. So the drafter might have thought a comma needed to be there because they were changing concepts from the conviction being expunged or set aside to it being pardoned, then the person had the civil rights restored.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the lack of commas with the others. So, okay.
And then as I was saying, I couldn't find any instance where set aside and expunged mean the same thing. There's no instance that I know of where a state expunges and it means the same thing as set aside. Thank you. That's all the time I have. We'd ask the court to reverse.
Okay. Thank you for your argument. Interesting
oral argument
today.
I don't know.
Today.
Just ask, please.
Okay. All right. The court will convene in closed conference at 1:30. We are adjourned.
It's up there.